This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I still very much exist within the tactical world to the degree I can now. I mean, I've just about aged out of it. I still think the same way, but physically things are becoming a little more difficult. But I saw this video in the vapid social media world that had a title that basically said most people were untested, especially when it comes to dealing with a crisis. That's actually a good thing. It is a great thing that you don't have to worry about gathering food. It's a great thing that you don't have to worry about repelling bad guys on a regular basis. That's a great thing. We exist in a great place. But another reality is that the majority of adults here in the United States think they know how they would react in such a situation, and they're just basing this belief on feelings. They have no concrete proof or experience on which to base their beliefs. They call this the Dunning-Kruger effect, and that's a cognitive bias in which people overestimate their knowledge or ability in a specific area. And this tends to occur because a lack of self-awareness prevents them from accurately assessing their own skills. See, a lot of things in fire maneuver that I used to do, I can no longer do. I can no longer do a rush, which is where you're basically sprinting at top speed with your weapon, and then you hurl yourself to the deck as hard as you can. You pop up in the prone position, and you fight for a second or two. Then you spring off of there like you got springs in your whole body, and you take off, and you keep doing it over and over and over again. I couldn't do that if my life depended on it. And the run would be embarrassing. Running whatever my top speed is much, much diminished. But I still have the knowledge. Now, the first thing about any crisis is whatever plan you have, whatever in the opening moments, plan A never survives first contact with whatever the enemy is. Is it a flood? Is it the zombie hordes? What is it? Now, in NCO school, you're taught something. It's called the SMEAC, the Situation, Mission, Execution, Admin, Logistics, Commands, and Signals. Now, you could ask the question in the military, if no plan survives, why do you waste your time planning? there's a method to the madness. Now, Eisenhower got out there and said, plans are worthless, but planning is everything. Now, the reason you plan is that so your personnel and yourself, you know all the specifics and the details of whatever this is you're about to go do. And when they begin to come apart under a very unpredictable circumstance, which is combat, the act of planning and preparation should never be underestimated, because fortune favors the prepared. Now, the intent is to ensure that you are as prepared as possible rather than simply leaving it all to chance. Another way to look at it is, the late Patrick Swayze said, those people that are prepared for trouble normally know how to handle it. And then there's Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Now, Masoud Ayoub, who some of you may have heard of, has been using the gravest extreme to describe deadly force situations, regardless of whatever the circumstance, for decades now, and I kind of think that might be fitting. And a lot of people get out there and visualize carrying a gun and preparing for what they picture to be their gunfight. Now, in their gunfight scenario, the person in question always sees the attack coming, draws their gun, and instantly neutralizes the threat with zero innocent casualties or any injury to themselves. And that absolutely can happen, but as often as not, deadly force attacks don't fit into any preconceived notion. The my gunfight scenario is akin to the plans that Tyson was talking about, right? But going back to Dunning-Kruger, when you consider the majority of adults are truly untested, one of the biggest problems encountered by the untested is to realize the threat or to accept that it's happening. And you hear it all the time. Witnesses say, I couldn't believe it was happening. People see the clues, but their brains can't accept that what they're seeing is real or an actual threat. You have to be able to accept. Acceptance goes a long way in a threat situation. But it may be true that no plan survives the first encounter. You have to engage in planning. The way the military does it to get ready to go into combat is by incessant, constant repetition. Always training. All this other stuff. Now, after getting into permanent party, that's actually going to consist of what you actually do in your military occupational specialty. Do you recover vehicles? Well, you're going to train to recover vehicles. You're going to go out there and you're going to work on the recovery vehicle that goes and tows them in. You're going to worry about a lot of other things that way as well. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tom in Anderson. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Bill.
Yes, sir.
I might, unless I'm misunderstanding something, might disagree with you a little bit about this brouhaha that's going on regarding the illegal orders. My background, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was enlisted in the Air Force at that time. I ended up retiring from the Army after over 22 years as a lieutenant colonel. And during all those times, we were always told about illegal orders did not have to be obeyed. Now, that becomes very subjective at some point. What is an illegal order? Let me ask you this. Did Lieutenant Calley give an illegal order?
You're talking about the My Lai Massacre?
What's that?
You're talking about the My Lai Massacre?
Yes, My Lai Massacre, right.
Wasn't he found to have given one?
Yes. So there are illegal orders given at times. Would that be the correct assumption?
It was in that particular moment, but I mean, if you were a colonel, which I don't doubt that you were a colonel, if you were a colonel, how often did you actually notice that in Vietnam?
That was the only one that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Was ever given. I'm sure there was.
So let's get to the part where you disagree with me, because I'm short on time as far as where,
okay,
where we're at.
Okay, you're saying that these six Congress persons should be brought up for trial or whatever.
Yeah.
But all they're saying is what I was taught in 23 years of service, that you do not have to obey an illegal order.
Yeah, but that's not who they were saying that for, Colonel. They weren't saying it for me and you, because we know that. They were saying it for the people that never served. They were saying that to put doubts out there. They were saying that for the optics, to make it sound like there's all kinds of Callies laying around. That's okay. What they were doing. And they were saying it to put doubts in the Commander-in-Chief and in the Secretary of War. That's what they were doing. It has nothing to do with what you and I know.
Yes, if you wish to construe it in that manner, yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But superficially, and for the typical person that's in the military, the private out there right now, he's being told that you don't have to obey an illegal order.
I would say that's, probably the privates are the most educated of all in the beginning, because that is drilled into them incessantly.
That's true.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that was for the civilians, Colonel. That's all it was. It was for the civilians.
If these Congress people are doing it specifically for subversive reasons, then that's one thing. But generally speaking, overall, in the military, when you go in, you're told you don't have to obey an illegal order.
Well, yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I agree with
Just
you, sir.
Just wanted to make that point.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate
right,
the call.
Thanks, Bill.
Yes, sir. We'll get back to the crisis in just a second. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Scott in Greenville. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I wanted to talk a little bit of 2A Tuesday-related stuff here. Let's talk about gun violence, if you could.
Well, that has nothing to do with 2A Tuesday. Is this the seminar caller? Is this the seminar caller?
No, you and I have talked before. I'm the double-action, single-action, SIG-loving guy.
Okay.
All right. So Concord, North Carolina had a little gunplay at a tree lighting up there, Carol lighting up there, whatever. Some of the local football games, we've had a little gunplay, and unfortunately, this week, young man over in Spartanburg lost his life. And I've noticed that on a lot of these incidences, and I'm not saying every single one, but it's pretty common that when they start talking about, you know, what happened, you hear the phrase something along the lines of two groups that knew each other. Now, are these debate team members, opposing debate team members? Are these volleyball teams?
Probably gang members. Volleyball teams? Probably gang members.
Oh, gang members. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So why can't we call gang violence gang violence?
Well, because you know, most of your news media that you watch on TV or in print is a copy and paste operation. So whoever says it first, and have you ever heard of something called the journalist? Do you know what that is? Was?
I think I've heard of it, and that's the group that puts out the talking points for the week.
Well, it was talking point coordination, to where it sounded the same in Tallahassee as it did in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Now, are you saying that it sounds the same? Because it does. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, 100%. And it would just be really interesting if we could, you know, people talk about this, you know, let's have an honest conversation about guns. Okay, well, let's do have an honest conversation about guns. But first, we're going to have to get in and let's define what these terms mean, the real words.
And, well, I mean, do you believe gun violence is a real phrase? You don't sound like you
do. No, I don't.
Yeah. Do you believe violence is a problem? Do you know how much crime goes away if we do away with every gun in the world? Do you know how much violence goes away in our violent crime statistics, percentage-wise?
Almost none, because then 18%. It's going to shift to a
different as problem. It goes today. As it stands today, we would lose 18% of violent crime. The other 82% doesn't have guns involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have violent crime, though.
And when they talk, you know, and when these groups talk about gun violence, you know, many times they're including everything. They're including suicides. They're including accidental discharges. They're including legitimate law enforcement shootings and legitimate self-defense shootings. So, you know, if you want to have this honest conversation, we got to have the honest conversation.
But, Scott, nobody wants to have an honest conversation. You know exactly what this is all about, right? I mean, you are welcome to inject logic anywhere you want to in the anti-gun argument that goes on a daily basis. You know very well how it works out, but it's never about logic. It has nothing to do with logic. More people get beaten to death by being kicked and punched to death per year than are shot by any kind of rifle, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's absolutely like almost three times the number.
And according to the FBI statistics, yes.
And then according to the CDC, 3 million people a year defend themselves with a gun. So that'd be 3 million more crimes we enable if we were to do away with guns. So what does that tell you about the anti-gun people who make up the phrases like assault weapon? And you already know the answer to that. You know what assault weapon is. You know what gun violence is. You know why they call them silencers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But so, it's good for you and I to have this conversation on the air every now and then just to remind those that may not know, or some of our liberal friends who may be trying to listen in.
Well,
and
see,
catch
listen,
us
look what you just did. Look what you just did. Do you think they're liberal? Do you really think they're liberal? They're not liberal, are they? They're Marxist. You're liberal. I'm liberal. We're for liberty, right?
Well, and in some areas, I'm probably a little more liberal than you are, but I'm still a conservative liberal.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that liberal, it does not mean that you are left-leaning. Liberal means that you're for liberty. They stole the phrase the same way as they made up the phrase assault weapon, the same way they made up the phrase gun violence. You know, it's okay to be a middle-of-the-road guy that leans fiscally towards the conservative tip. That's great. But but you know what? In all truth, you actually are. So am I. Because that's actually what the word means. But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And it's a semantic thing. It's always a semantic thing. It's all about the semantics. And they're always stealing the language.
Yep, absolutely. And I suppose that your previous caller, let's just leave it at this, and saying that he was referring to a illegal order, not the illegal order. Okay. To paraphrase Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah, well, you know. And they actually unlawful. That's what the UCMJ says. It doesn't mention illegal. They're unlawful. So, you know, hey,
good chatting with you, Bill.
Likewise, have a happy Thanksgiving.
I'm gonna try.
Yes, sir. Gun control is all about semantics, and he is right when they get out there and they say, "Well, we think these two groups were known to each other." Oh, so over here on the left, we got the Bloods, and over here on the right, we got the Crips, and, you know, whatever subs. Or maybe it was a Hispanic gang. I don't know. There's more Hispanic gang members in the United States than there are black gang members by a high percentage, if you didn't know that already. It's just that the Hispanic gang members don't fight each other for some reason. And it probably has to do with the fact that they're not in the same general area. But just, you know, it's always going to be a semantic issue. Always. And to that end, I don't know. We have to be able to see through this. But I do want to finish this point up about preparation in a crisis, because most people are not, and you should be. So, back on that in just a second. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, back to trying to plan for the crises, right? Now, in the military, this is largely about repetitive exercise. To learn how to fire the M16, we had to lay in the prone position for hours on end, and we would take turns balancing a quarter on the end of the barrel and pulling the trigger to where the quarter did not fall down. And none of us understood what we were doing until we got on the range and we had discovered the steady trigger pull. We didn't know it, but then we understood it. In a stressful situation, this kind of, you know, that kind of formalized training is planning. As a civilian, I have had to present a pistol at people twice. And in both instances, what happened, I was unprepared for. Now, back then, when I got out of the military, I started shooting competitively. So I would spend a lot of time just practicing the draw stroke. And, which is, you know, a very perilous time if you don't know how to draw a weapon. But I would just, you know, draw, replace, draw, replace, draw, replace. And the first time that a human being got up there and I thought I was going to have to fight them with a gun, all of a sudden the gun just appeared in front of my face. I was so drilled into this that it was just an automatic, it was something that clicked in my head that said, threat, pop, I'm there. And thankfully, both times, the would-be perpetrator was really fast and got out of there really fast. But that was because I had done that repetitively over and over and over again. And with specific plans, while they may fall apart, the tactic is going to remain true. Like using cover properly is a tactic. You're not going to know what kind of cover is out there, but cover is actually things that stop bullets. Now, them not seeing you and not shooting you, that's concealment. Cover is something that stops bullets. So, you know, just as a rule of thumb, you never hug the cover. You've got to be off the cover, unless you're like in a foxhole. Now you're in a fighting position. You're not using cover. Cover denotes movement. You're moving from cover to cover. But you need to be getting off. They refer to this as getting off the X and moving with your feet. And that's more of a tactic than a plan. Planning also includes redundancy and alternative actions. So when you're armed with a long gun or a sidearm, the primary fighting tool is the long gun. But if the long gun refuses to make noise, you don't get to call timeout. You have to move to the sidearm immediately. In the old days, before they went to magazine-fed pistols, when they were just using revolvers, a lot of cops, instead of reloading, would carry a secondary weapon, a secondary revolver. And they would practice scenarios where they had to go for the backup gun. So while a plan might not work, planning does. So think of planning as a mindset. And this is right now, while there's nothing bad going on, this is where you should be preparing yourself and developing the proper mindset. The training you engage in has to be serious and it has to be rigorous. It has to be as much as you can take. It should make you uncomfortable because you have to overcome mental and physical discomfort. And if you do that, then you can develop the proper mindset and prepare your mind to make the correct decisions. Now, for centuries, the militaries around this on this rock have taken untested young men and put them through rigorous and stress-filled training. And they've done all of this in order to give these men the greatest opportunity for survival and success in their first deadly encounter. They get out there and they challenge them. Most of them don't run 2 miles daily. Most of them don't climb obstacle courses. Most of them, you know, aren't used to being screamed at by a guy with a neck that has veins popping out that look like telephone cables. All of that prepares you. And the answer to preparation is both simple and complicated. While the act of training isn't hard to do, it's shunned by the majority of gun owners and carriers because it's not easy. And it's not comfortable. Most people, I'll give you an example. Most people carry a gun, carry it inside the waistband holster. And then when they go train for it, they carry this drop leg where it's pushing the gun way out from the body and it's down, and it's lower, and it's easier to draw and all this other stuff. But this isn't the way they carry a gun day to day. So the modern world has convinced people that everything we want is supposed to be convenient and easy. And we embrace comfort, and we avoid discomfort. You have to learn to embrace the suck. being untested is not a detriment because you can prepare. And preparation, if you never use it, it's still worth your time. But if you do not prepare, if you are not ready to go, when you find yourself in the gravest extreme, which there's no way to know when that's going to happen or why, you're not going to magically rise up to the occasion. You're going to react with the level of training that you've mastered. And if you haven't trained, well, you're probably not going to react very well. But that's really going to be up to you more than anything else. That's really going to be up to you more than anything else. So, let's see. I didn't even see that there. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chuck from Mills River. Yes, sir.
Hi, man. I just wanted a happy 2A Tuesday. And
yep.
Y'all have mentioned a Rossi carbine. I have a Rossi Model 92 that's lever action, lever, however you want to pronounce it. And it's 45 long Colt. And they make spectacular guns for what they are compared to the price. Mine's a 45 long Colt. It's like at 100 yards, it's like pow, tink. It takes it a minute to get there, but
right.
But it's 45 long Colt. But they're fine rifles, and that was a good point. I wanted to address much respect to the colonel that called earlier about the illegal orders. I'm going to take him at his word that he was in the green hell and made full bird and all that. But if our listeners will go back and listen to this stupid commercial that Mark Kelly, whom I really don't have a whole lot of love lost for, you will hear them say that this president is pitting the military against our people. Go back and listen to it, those of you who, and this colonel, the colonel that called, again, much respect, you go back and you listen to it. This is not, these people said that our president was pitting the military against our public. That is wrong. That is horrible. And I it took me a minute. Charlie played it last night on his show, and I gave it the full listen and paid a great deal of attention to it. And yeah, they basically said, yeah, our president's giving illegal orders. They didn't word it that way. And yes, the colonel would have been correct if they had come up and just said, you don't have to follow illegal orders. Yeah, that's true. That's uniform military code adjustment.
Listen,
I get it.
Chuck, I'm running out of time, man. Running out of time.
Oh, dude. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Be cool.
Sir. Yeah. Colonel was missing a point or two. That's okay. That's okay, though. That's okay. Now, recently in New York, where they don't allow guns, a non-criminal has been convicted of defending himself with an unregistered gun. And you won't believe what they're doing to him and why. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Well, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms is appalled that New York City gun laws and prosecutors in the Queen District Attorney's Office took a 67-year-old citizen and they put him behind bars for defending himself against a recidivist criminal with an unlicensed handgun. According to the New York Post, we're talking about Charles Foner. He was not prosecuted for fatally shooting would-be thief Cody Gonzalez 2 years ago. Instead, they slapped Foner with multiple gun law violations. Foner's attorney ripped the city's draconian gun laws. And Alan Gottlieb got out there and said, "We agree wholeheartedly with attorney Thomas Kenneth's assessment of the New York City gun laws. Almost everywhere else in the country, Mr. Foner would be getting accolades for defending himself against a guy with Gonzalez's criminal record. But in New York, he's getting 4 years in prison. Queens prosecutors should be ashamed of themselves for using New York's despicable gun law to imprison a man who was defending himself from a thug who had at least 15 arrests in his background, along with a record of mental illness. Apparently in New York City, it's more important to allow dangerous repeat offenders to roam the streets while putting good people behind bars. We've seen this repeatedly in the Big Apple with cases such as one against subway hero Daniel Penny 2 years ago. Published reports said that Foner had several unregistered firearms in his residence, allowing prosecutors to file multiple charges against him. And he used one of those guns to fatally shoot Gonzalez, who reportedly demanded money and cigarettes before he lunged at Foner with what appeared to be a knife, but turned out to be a pin. Gottlieb said, "If there is true justice in the world, Mr. Foner's sentence would be commuted, at the very least, when he appears in court on January 14th. But this is New York City, where the good guys are treated like bad guys, and the real bad guys who truly belong behind bars are continually recycled back into the streets." So, it was okay for him to kill him. I don't even know if they charged him with murder. But they got him on gun charges. Now, a while back, the postulation was that there are more unregistered guns in the hands of law-abiding people than there are bad guys, registered guns, all the other things that go along with it. And we're talking in the millions of unregistered guns. Because there's just no way in New York City to get a gun permit for the most part. I know that we've had the Bruin decision. I know we've had the Bruin reaction, laws that have come into place. And in New York City, yes, you can get a permit. There's just, you know, most places you're not allowed to carry a gun. Now, Mr. Foner, I would be very interested to find out a few details to him, like had he tried to get a permit, or was he just one of these realists that live in New York City, in and out. And he just said, "You know what, I'm just going to have something for my protection." They make movies about this stuff, it's so prevalent. So, he's going to jail for 4 years, he's 67, he has no criminal record at all, never committed a crime. And now they're looking at him, they're saying, "Oh, well, he's a very dangerous individual. He see how many unregistered guns he's got? Well, he probably didn't have as many unregistered guns as I've got. Because here we don't have to register them." This is one of the reasons I don't go to places like this. This is one of the reasons. And in the past, I've known guys who had all the means necessary to get out there and move if they wanted to move, to get out of an area that was quite non-permissive when it comes to just regular freedom, you know, low tax, low crime. They wanted that, but, you know, they would live in California. They live in L.A. And then I'd ask him, like one of them, Dave Parks, Mike Parks. Mike Parks runs a company called Agency Arms. If you've ever seen some of his guns, they've been in some of the movies. And, well, as a matter of fact, Agency Arms guns were in the first John Wick movie. And before Taron got a hold of them and showed him what a gun is. But nonetheless, Agency Arms makes Gucci Glocks, and they were stationed. They were headquartered in California. And in the end, after doing all the fighting that Mike wanted to do against them, he picked up the company and moved them to Idaho. And now that's where they're at. And I look at the Mr. Phoners of the world, and I wish there was a way that he could have moved out of New York City. He probably would have, if you were to ask him, he'd probably say, this is my home, and I'm going to stay here and fight for things, and I want to make sure everything gets taken care of. Yes, I would do that, but, you know. Look what it's got him. Look what it has for him. I'd also like to know his voting record. Because anti-gun nonsense in New York City has been going on since the turn of the century in the 1900s. With the Sullivan Act and everything. Just possession of a gun used to be a year in jail. Just possessing a gun. And he used one in self-defense. Oh my God. So, like I told you, they're trying to make self-defense. They're trying to stigmatize self-defense. Greenville City passed the ordinance, the no camping ordinance, yesterday. Vote 4-3. Joining me to tell us what all this means and what all this puts into motion is the city councilman that actually put it together in the first place. That being, I think he's out of District 2. That being John DeWorken. He'll be joining us next. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.